Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Rated E for everyone, 10 and up.
This episode is brought to you by DrawYouAPicture.com, where you can get me to draw you just about anything. Check out what I've done for others and see what I can do for you at DrawYouAPicture.com. Also by our patrons like Dan Meredith, Daniel Hafner, and Donnie, who support the show on a monthly basis. Join the club and get patron-only bonus stories, stickers, and more. Join today at Patreon.com/ThatStoryShow.
Hi, I'm Rowan from Campbell River, BC, and you're listening to That Story Show.
Hey! This is That Story Show, people.
Hallelujah!
You watching?
Hey, who's cooking pizza?
I turned into a bat. I flew into this lady's house. I left her some guano.
Hey, how you doing, podcast people? This is That Story Show, where we bring your real life stories into the spotlight. It is episode 411, brought to the week of May 12th. 2022. I'm your host. My name is James Kennison, and my good friend is here.
Hey, I'm John. And James, I want to tell you, I'm afraid for the calendar.
Oh, you're afraid for the calendar? Yeah.
I am. I'm afraid for it. You know, its days are numbered.
Oh.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll be here all week.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I do appreciate you, John. I do. I really do.
Yeah.
My counselor told me to say that as many times during the day as I can. I appreciate John. I appreciate John. I also appreciate today that we have a special guest host in the third chair. Welcome to the show, Stephen Forrester.
Hey, guys. I'm excited to be here and can't believe that I'm speaking with the John Steinklauber.
Oh, the John Steinklauber. Who's that guy?
Yeah, I'm pretty amazed, too. It's like having an angel in your bathroom all the time. Oh. So
why the bathroom?
I don't know.
Say, is watching you pee? Or
when I was a kid, I think every child has asked the question, can God see me in the bathroom? And I believe the answer is yes. He just doesn't care, you know?
That's good.
So
or he doesn't look. I don't know.
Well, he sees us when we're coming and going and rising and you know, setting and running and skipping and jumping and diving. And I don't know. I just
the
think
hairs on top of your head. He's got them numbered.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully.
And he thanks you, John, for not taking up too much of his time.
Right.
Oh,
it's a bald joke.
Yeah.
Cause I'm bald.
So Stephen Forrester is not just a listener of the show. He's a longtime friend of the show. He's had stories multiple times. Especially last week, he contributed our Christian Mingle story, which is easily one of my favorites. He's got another one he's going to share with us later in the show. But Stephen, tell us a little bit about yourself. You are a minister. You are a traveling evangelist. You are a singer. You are a ventriloquist dummy. No.
I operate the dummy. I'm not.
Yes. Oh, okay.
You got it pretty close. Yeah. So I'm from Michigan. Stalkers. I travel a little over 100 dates a year all across the country. I sing gospel music. I play several different instruments. I am a ventriloquist. I have a whole box full of friends who travel in the back of my van. And if it's for a Sunday service, I also preach, or I do revivals. I do concerts. I sing mostly for churches, but I do a fair number of senior retirement homes in the middle of the week. And then I also will do like RV parks, state fairs, county fairs, you know, about anywhere the Lord leads. One time I sang for a family reunion, didn't even know the family, but they asked me to come sing. So I was like, all right,
that's cool. Nice. So you can find more about him at ForresterMinistries.com. Again, that's ForresterMinistries.com. And you can look up his music. I know some of you guys are really into gospel on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, YouTube, you name it. He's on there. Just look up Stephen Forrester. Again, Stephen Forrester Ministry. Stephen Forrester and Forrester Ministries, Forester Ministries.com. And we're glad to have you today, man. The honor is ours. We appreciate it.
No, the honor is totally mine to be speaking with the John Steinclaver.
Wow.
He said it first. It's the Stephen Forrester. And yeah, even his guitar has a mustache.
Yeah. No, okay. No, actually, I was glad to be here. James read my Christian Mingle story last week, and I was so honored. And then he had a long list of Christian Mingle questions, and I don't know if we'll have time today, but if he still is curious, I can answer some of those.
Yeah, I'll be glad to get some of those in, actually. And we actually got another Christian Mingle story from a listener that I'm looking forward to reading as well, too. So, but we always start with an opening story. Today is called Elope Nope. And it's from Annie P. She says, it was a week before my now husband and I were to elope to the mountains of Asheville to get married. I was getting some guacamole ready for dinner. John, you're going to love this one. As most of you know, that involves avocados. Have you cut open one of these before?
I have
many times, but this was a bit different. As I tried to cut around the pit to open it in half and remove said pit, the knife I was using went right through the pit and right through my hand.
Ouch. Why?
The pit was totally rotted and just fell apart. I am a righty. Ow. So it went into my left hand just between my first and middle fingers.
First and middle fingers.
It just so happens that my soon to be husband walked through the door just in time to hear me scream, "Crap!" Although I screamed something quite different.
What did she scream that was quite different from that?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask because you don't know those words.
What other thing would you say for crap when you stab your hand?
Exactly. I quickly thought to take off my engagement ring, and then I grabbed some towels and a bag of peas before heading to urgent care. What did peas do to deserve getting blood all over it? I don't know. Bloody peas.
Bag of peas.
They stitched me up and put my hand, but my hands and fingers were too swollen to get my ring back on. So the following week we got married, but I had to wear my ring on my right hand. Doesn't count. Mm. It doesn't count. And the photographer was able to do the magic flip classic hand over hand wedding ring shot. So it looked like the ring was on my left hand. Since we eloped, nobody was there to see the boo boo hand anyway. Hope you enjoyed it and hope it makes it on the show. Annie P.
So if it was on the wrong hand, does that make the ceremony null and void?
That's what I think. I think it's fake. Yeah.
Are they living in sin?
They're living in sin. I tell you, when me and my wife got married, I think I've shared this before, but I was supposed to have brought the marriage license for the minister who officiated to sign. I did not bring it. And my wife, my brand new, beautiful, lovely, clad in white wife hit the roof. I mean, she was so stressed out about this. We're not really married. We can't go anywhere. And the hand picture that he talked about where our hands are closed over each other. Every time I see that picture, I shudder because she was screaming at me the entire time our hands were touching. Oh. We're not going to be able to go to Disney World. Well, everything, it's not real. It's null and void. And the maid of honor came in. I just begged her, please go talk some sense to my crazy new wife. And she's like, Jennifer, it still counts before God. It's just a legal thing. You can have it signed when we get back. I can't believe he forgot it. So we went on. She finally calmed down. We had the bird seeds thrown at us and stuff. And
that's what makes it a manner.
Yeah. When you get bird seed in your yeah. shirt. But well, we went to Disney World, and we came back and we set up house, and there was a bunch of leaflets and stuff that we had gotten when we picked up our marriage license. And my wife was like, do we throw these away? I guess so. But she thumbed through one of the leaflets before she threw it out. And guess what? There was the daggum marriage license. She had put it inside this booklet after we had gotten it to keep it nice. And there's no way I would have known, even if I had remembered to look for it, which I didn't, I would have never been able to bring it. So it was her fault. It was her fault.
I have performed one marriage ceremony in my ministry career. And yeah. I believe, I'm not 100% sure, but I believe that technically it becomes legal when the minister signs it. So I guess she wasn't entirely wrong. But
right. But, but before God, we were fine. That was the part she was tripping out about, you know. So anyway, it's all right. Let's rewind the week. Rewinding. All right, so mine's an LBB, actually.
One of the many tools of the devil.
So have you guys ever been like at a drive-thru and you're saying, hey, can I get a large fry and a Diet Coke? And they go, no. You ever been in that situation before?
No.
No, I can't say I have.
Oh, really?
No.
Several times,
they're out of net.
Several times in my life, I've gone up to a counter and I've asked for my order, and I say, "Can I get?" And they just say no and look at you for a little while, and it's a joke because then they laugh and they say, "Ha ha! It's just kidding."
Yeah, I'm so funny. I got you with that.
I have to serve people all day, and I just want to rebel somehow, and this is the only way, is passive aggressively joking to you. Well, anyway, we go to this restaurant all the time, me and Jen. We're regulars. I mean, they know us there, and it's called Cyberg's. It's here in St. Louis. It's great. John, I'll have to take you when you come down.
All right.
I have to take your whole family. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's my favorite place. We go in there, and we go in there to have a seat, but we have to go to the guy who's behind the little podium and tell him we want a seat. You know, you have to tell him you want to sit down before they'll let you sit down. And so we're like, hey, we want to get, you know, for two. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry, the dining room's closed. And he just has this butt-looking grin on his face. Like I am so clever. I'm going to just totally get one over on you. And I went, oh no, they're closed, like that, really loud. The place is obviously open. It's packed full of people. My wife, though, doesn't get the joke, and immediately she's like, oh my gosh, James, I'm so hungry, I'm gonna die, I can't handle this. And I said, he's joking, babe, he's joking. And sure enough, he's like, oh, I'm just joking. I'm like, man, if I could have your job right now. But anyway, he's an LBB.
One of the many tools of the devil.
So,
just a partial LBB, though, right? I mean, you know, because
what are you taking his side? It's the it's a bad joke. It's a bad joke.
What kind of person would do
that? If it's not funny to the people you're telling it to, it's not a good joke. It's if it's only funny to you, then it's not a joke. It's a it's a trick.
Prior to my moving over into full-time ministry, I worked at my local Dairy Queen for 7 years and 4 months. A long time for fast food worker.
Wow.
And yeah,
you owned the place, didn't you?
Well, just about. When I came in, I was the new kid. When I left, I was the old man. But we used to do all kinds of things in the drive-thru just to mess with people, especially if there was, we had some regulars, some people who would come and you knew their order before they were going to order.
Yeah.
And I had one guy who was from my church come through, and he made an order, and I recognized him because with my drive-thru, you can see the car from the window. And I said something to the effect of, I'm sorry, we don't serve your kind here, or something. It may have been slightly worse, actually, but we'll say that's what I said. And he's like, what? But then
what?
Yeah. Oh. I'm like, no, Mr. Warner, it's me, it's Steven. I got you. Come on up. So.
Oh, man.
I was about to pull out my pistol on that boy.
Dude,
you trust me, he would. That guy, you trip over guns at his house, I'll tell you.
I was going to say, that would get you shot here in St. Louis. No joke. No joke. You don't do what? You know, unless it was McDonald's, then they'd be like, well, you don't serve anybody here. So, you know.
Not ice cream.
Because our McDonald's are ridiculous. Anyway, John, what do you got?
I really don't. I don't have anything good. I have something, but it's another fart joke, and it's just
that's fine, John.
I don't want to. I don't
love
because
you.
Last week I had one, and it's I just you know
I.
But I will tell you this: this week we set a record for how many cracked Chromebook screens we got.
Oh, really? What's the record?
It's like four.
Oh, wow! Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah, these are the students at the school here, and. I don't know what they do. I think they're trying to play ping pong with their Chromebooks. It's like the last few weeks of school, so they're just going crazy with, I don't know where their brains go, but yeah, it's a full-time job just trying to keep up with that. So,
oh man.
So if you're listening right now and your school issues you a Chromebook, be kind to your IT guy and don't break the screen. Just don't.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that. That's mean.
Nice.
Don't be mean to the screen, you know?
Yeah.
There we go. Make a poster. Put it all over the
Make
walls.
It a meme.
Yeah.
That'd be a new NLCast t-shirt there.
Yeah. Don't be mean to the screen.
So what about you, Steven?
Well, I got one here. So I'm married and I have two boys. I have a one who is going to be 5 years old at the end of this month. And then I've got a two-year-old, turned two back in January. And this past Sunday was Mother's Day, of course. And My church canceled their Sunday night service. They did some things on Sunday morning, you know, the typical honor mothers, give them gifts and flowers, all that stuff. And then we knew in advance that they were going to cancel the Sunday night service because the attendance is terrible on Mother's Day anyways at night. So they're like, yeah, let's just go spend time with your family.
Yeah.
So we knew that in advance. My wife is like, you know, you're home from traveling. Can we go do something special? My wife and I love to ride bikes. And we live in a relatively rural area, and you can ride bikes here, but despite how out in the country we are, the street we live on is still surprisingly busy.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to like ride bikes and talk, and you can't really do that with cars rushing by us. So her parents live about 7 minutes from our house in a subdivision, and it's real quiet. It's real easy to ride bikes and just talk. So we loaded up the bikes in the van. We go over to the house. We drop the kids off with them. They were going to play with the kids outside, and they live right behind a Lutheran church, like backyards right there, and the church has a little playground that they let neighborhood kids play on.
Nice.
And so we drop the kids off, and my in-laws have got them. They're gonna have the kids ride scooters and play in the playground while we go ride bikes. So my wife and I ride for like 45 minutes to an hour, have a wonderful time. We come back, and the first thing I see is my almost five-year-old crying his eyes out.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh heavens, what just happened? And I came up, and he had either he hit a rock or the wheel of his scooter caught his shoe. I'm not quite sure what happened there, but he was riding his scooter at top speed. And believe me, that kid can really haul the mail. I mean, he can almost keep up with our bikes on his scooter. he hit a rock or a shoe or whatever it was. Yeah, that's a Yankee Michigan term, John.
I'm not familiar with that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So by the time I came back, he had fallen and he broke the fall with his face.
Oh,
and, yeah. The best way I can describe it is, do you remember how they made Two-Face look in The Dark Knight?
Yeah.
You can see
through his cheek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. It wasn't quite that bad, but that's the first thing that comes to mind. And he took it on his nose, and he obviously hit his left side because he took it on the left side of his nose, his left upper lip, his left forehead, his left cheek. But I was proud of him, though, because even though he was crying, he still was man enough. He wanted to get back on the scooter and do it again.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, I'm raising him right. So he's got a few battle scars, and then he wants to keep riding. But he started perking up and smiling real big when I told him, hey, buddy, that blood, it looks like war paint. So he was really excited about that.
I don't know what that is, but that sounds awesome. Now, you know how to get that out, right? I've seen people online when they have a scratched surface, you just start with a high grit sandpaper and you go and you work down the grits till you're like at 600 and then 2000 and then you wet sand and then you buff with a polishing compound and it'll work all those scratches right out. So,
right. Dude, I almost spit out my water when you said that.
You're gonna have microphone. A smooth face too.
Yeah, it'll be nice and shiny for school. So it'll be great.
Only half of it though.
Yeah. Yeah, just do the whole thing just for fun. We need to thank some patrons because we have a bunch of new ones. Jedediah Bueno became a $1 patron. Autumn became an annual patron at $1 a month. Nathan Liberté became a $5 a month patron. Mackenzie Murphy became a $5 patron. And Carrie Bernhardt upped their pledge from $16 to $18 for a total of $216 annually. So thank you so much, everybody.
Thank you.
Just here's my pitch for Patreon. It goes to support the show and make it better so we can make a better show for you. And all you have to do is go to patreon.com/thatstoryshow. You can sign up for $1, $3, $5, $10 a month, whatever you can afford. And you get more bonus stories every single week. We record anywhere from 15 to 25 to 30 minutes of bonus content for every single show. And you not only unlock stuff from now on, you get content from the past 30 or so shows as well. Like so
unlocking a vault.
Yeah. And so it's definitely worth it. And it's a chance for you to say thank you. So we love our listeners. We love our listeners, but our backbone, we always say, is our patrons, because when stuff hits the fan and we can't get the equipment we need and all that kind of stuff, it's never been an issue because that Patreon support has always been there, and we appreciate you and hope you will consider joining Jedediah, Autumn, Nathan, McKenzie, and Carrie. We appreciate you guys. One announcement before we jump into our featured story that Steven's going to bring us is June 11th, 2022 is just around the corner. It is less than a month away as of today, and the deadline is coming soon. So if you're coming to our meetup, registration is open at narthexcon.com, June 11th from 2 to 6. We'd love to have you there, but if you want a t-shirt and stuff, the registration deadline is coming soon, and I got to put that order in. And, it's filling up. I mean, people are signing up left and right. I've got folks that are making a whole vacation out of it. Folks that are flying in, folks that are driving in. It's just going to be a blast. I'm looking forward to meeting everybody that's coming. I wish we could do a tour. People are like, you should come to Atlanta. You should come here. You should come there. I'm like, well, maybe one day we will. You know what?
Yeah.
Dadgummit. You know,
Atlanta is close for me. I could do that.
Go to Atlanta, go to Texas, go to California, you know, just tour around a little bit. It'll be fine.
I thought about it. I really wanted to come to your NarthexCon this year, but I looked at my calendar and realized I'm singing in Kentucky.
Oh.
I was looking at it trying to figure out how could I make it, because I really wanted to do it. And I'm like, ah.
Priorities. Next time we'll just hire you and we won't let you sing, but we will hire you to sing. And that way you can come and enjoy yourself you're getting paid. It'll be great.
We will pay you to come to NarthexCon.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Here's a preview for you, John. When James heard my music after we met up back in January, he admitted it wasn't really his thing. He didn't really care for it, but he appreciated it. And I thought, wow, James doesn't like my music. I know there are other people who don't, but there are people who don't like my music, and I like to call those people sinners.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm definitely a sinner. There is no doubt about that. Anybody that knows me knows I got issues. But I it's not I don't like it. It's just not my style. It's gospel music, man. You got to have a heart for that stuff, you know? And I don't know. I was raised in the South. I've had my fill. But I know what makes good gospel music, and I know bad gospel music when I hear it. And you are good. So how about that?
How about it?
Well, you just moved to one cooler degree of hell then. All right.
Well, I'll save you guys a seat just in case you
miss. Oh!
I get there before you.
Why?
John's an angel. He doesn't get that joke.
Yeah, John. Fallen angel is more like it. But anyway, it's time for us to do our featured story.
Let me tell y'all a story.
So if you guys remember, Stephen Forrester brought us last week a Christian Mingle story, and I had questions. And Christian Mingle, of course, is an online dating website for Christians. And I wanted to know how many click boxes and how specific can you get, because there's a lot of different kinds of Christians, you know?
Yes.
There's, you know, not to mention just denomination, but even interdenominationally, there are some Baptist churches that love to rock the house down, and some of them don't want drums on the stage and need a pipe organ, you know. Pentecostals, they do the same thing. Some of them are just like a good, quiet Southern Baptist church, and others, they swing from the chandeliers. So how does Christian Mingle work exactly?
Well, my data is from 2014. I haven't been on Christian Mingle since I got married, so it's a little bit dated probably.
Okay,
but,
okay.
I can tell you, I tried a few different dating websites before I met my wife, and the reason I liked Christian Mingle the most was how much they let you narrow it down. So, like, I tried eHarmony, and you can do some profile searching on that, but it's mostly just matchups, right? That's kind of their featured thing, is matching you up with your supposedly ideal mate. Christian Mingle had that feature, but it wasn't really the point of being there. You can create a profile. You can put as much or as little in there as you wanted, but the more you put in there, the luckier you're probably going to be. And they let you narrow it down the field from obviously male or female, and then you can your age range that you're looking for in a mate, church denomination, distance from you.
Ah.
You could do that. And then there was a personality
somebody
test.
Far away, just in case you didn't work
out. I would put like as far away as Quick Trip. You know, and see if there was anybody really close, like that I could go over to their house right away.
Yeah, there you go.
Look through their
window. They had it like 5 miles, 10 miles, 50, 100, 500, or anywhere. I put in up to 500, and I wound up marrying a girl who was 530, actually.
He was desperate. Like, there's not a woman in this state. It's going to make me happy. So.
Well, I'll tell you, I have three brothers. All of us are born in Michigan. None of us married Michigan girls. Yeah. We all had to go outside the state. No, but Christian Mingle. Yeah. And I actually hold the record for the furthest away, the furthest miles to get a girl. But Christian Mingle actually lets you filter it down quite a bit. And it was pretty cool. And you could take a personality test, and then they would give you a color code. And they clarify that any colored person could marry any colored person with these codes, but there are certain, if you turned out you were a red or a blue or a yellow or a white.
Can you say
or
that again, just for the record?
Yes. As that came out of my mouth, I was like, that probably didn't sound right.
That doesn't sound good at all. Somebody is going to clip that, and I'm going to be hated on by the left.
Yeah, I didn't mean that how it sounded. Let's put it that way. But any color type personality.
Any person of color can marry any other. Oh gosh, never mind.
Yeah, keep shoveling that manure, James. Just go ahead. No, but you could do that, and then you could put in. They had a lot of optional stuff for like, what kind of movies do you like? What kind of music do you like?
They asked
how frequently do you attend church? You could put in church denomination. Yeah, you could filter your searches by church denomination and weed those down a little bit.
Or Yahweh or Daddy?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And then there was an open box where you could write anything about yourself and then post pictures and everything else. And so the more you filled it out, the better chance you had of meeting somebody. So
right, but it worked for you.
It did.
How many times did it take before it worked?
Well, it took a few. Actually, that's part of my story.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Let's jump into it. That's a good segue.
All right. My featured story. So I was actually on Christian Mingle three times. The first time I was on there, I had just gone through a breakup and I tried it, and I just created like a quickie profile. Like, I didn't even put a picture up, didn't fill out anything. Like, I didn't pay. There's a free version of it, but you didn't want to do that because it was so limited. It was pointless. I didn't pay. I just got on there for free in like 30 minutes just to see what it was. And then I turned chicken and shut it down that night.
I want a wife, but I don't want to work for it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I want a free wife.
Yeah, I wasn't ready for it. It was not the time. So I shut it down and put it away for a while. Then I got on there in 2013, and that was where my previous last week's story came from. So if y'all didn't hear it, check that out last week.
Yes.
That story didn't work out, obviously. And then that after that happened,
tattoos.
The tattoo story. Oh, that's so cringy. And no, James, there's no checkbox for tattoos or piercings.
That's
sorry.
Crazy.
Unless
some people are really religious about that, you know? And apparently you are one of them.
Yeah. Yes. I tell people I was raised in a very, very conservative, old fashioned, independent, fundamental, homeschooled.
Wow.
Devil hating, sin hating, pew jumping, gravy sopping, biscuit eating, King James Version only Baptist family.
There you go. Yeah. Pastor, Reverend, Brother Bishop, man of God.
That just sounds out of place.
Yeah, exactly. No, but so I was on there twice, and after the thing with the tattoo girl didn't work out, it kind of proved to me that I still wasn't ready, so I shut my profile down.
I'm sorry. And then, I love how she had one little tiny tattoo underneath her bracelet, and she's tattoo girl. She's like, she's doomed. She's going to hell now because she made a mistake when she was 18 that she regrets.
Or at least her wrist is. Yeah. The rest of her might be okay. Yeah, her wrist is going.
As I look at my own tattoo that's on my forearm, I'm like, oh, goodness.
Doesn't the Bible say if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off?
Yeah, that's true. I love Buzz Lightyear,
though. Or if it's tattooed.
Yeah. Still, oh, boy. So after that didn't work out, I realized I still wasn't ready yet. So I shut it down for a while. Then in 2014, I got back on it and decided, all right, I'm going to give this a serious go.
When they got the tattoo checkbox.
Yeah, when they added that feature, yeah. So I got on there, and I talked to a couple different people and spent some time on it. And I learned you have to have, if you're going to do online dating, for all the listeners, if you're going to do online dating, you have to have two things. One is you have to have some spiritual discernment, pray about it, search it out, think about it, you know, be very prayed up on it. And two, you have got to have a sense of humor because everything starts off anonymous and then gradually you reveal more about yourselves than your names and then you meet up. But their profile names would be something like I Love Jesus 1995. And then you'd start reading into it. And in their personal descriptions they put up, you're like, I don't see Jesus anywhere in that. Oh, dear. But after being on there for a little bit in 2014, I was contacted by what seemed to be a pretty nice lady. But as I kind of looked through her profile and just prayed about it a little bit, I thought, you know, this probably isn't right. She seems nice enough, and she's probably going to be great for somebody, but not for me. So as carefully,
kind of like your music,
as carefully and charmingly as I could, I said basically thanks, but no thanks. And she responded back, took it very well. It was totally fine. And then a short while later, another young lady contacted me, who would eventually turn out to be my wife. And she was from the northeastern part of Wisconsin. I'm from the central part of Michigan. It's like a 530-mile drive. We talked online for a little bit, for about a month, and then I made plans to go up there. And I realized on the way up there, I had never seen anything of her family. She had posted pictures of herself and her dog. That was it. I hadn't seen any of the family at all. But yeah. I'm like, okay, whatever.
You so at least ought to look at mom. You know, so you know what you're marrying into, you know.
Yeah, but yeah. Well, I showed up, and this girl quite literally lived out in the woods. I mean, we're talking northeastern woods of Wisconsin. It made Mayberry look like Dodge City on Saturday night. I mean, it was way out there. And I pull up to her house, and she came bounding down the stairs, excited to see me. And we talked for 60 seconds outside, and then she walks me up to the house, and there's mom standing just inside the front door. And I'm like, oh,
shotgun.
Yeah. No, that was her dad when he came home.
Oh, gotcha.
No, so I see her mom through the screen door, and I'm like, oh, hi, you must be mom. Hi. And we talked a little bit, and as I'm walking in the house, I look over to my right, and I see on their piano, there's a picture of another young lady who looked very, very familiar.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, okay, that face looks really familiar. And I asked Marie, who became my wife, I'm like, is your sister on Christian Mingle as well by chance? She's like, why, yes, she is. And I don't remember what her sister's profile name was, but at the time I remembered it. And so I'm like, is your sister on Christian Mingle with such and such profile name? And she's like, why, yes, she is. Sure enough, the lady that I had said thanks but no thanks to was her older sister.
Yay!
Her older sister.
Yes! Hallelujah! We don't believe in coincidences. This was ordained by the Holy Spirit. Yes.
So yeah, that was mildly embarrassing. But it was a relief though, because her sister wasn't there. Her sister that summer had volunteered to serve for a couple of months at a Baptist youth camp out of state.
Yeah, she was suicidal because some jerk had turned her down on Christian Mingle. Geez.
Yeah, exactly.
So she went to go find herself.
So I didn't have to meet her sister for until a month later, and when they came to Michigan. And so it took some of the pressure and some of the awkwardness off. But to this day, whenever I feel like teasing my sister-in-law, I remind her that she lost me to her younger sister.
Yeah. Now, is it ever weird? Is it weird between you guys?
No. No, it's totally fine. And actually, her sister wound up a couple years later meeting a dude on eHarmony. So
okay.
All right.
Yeah, so the two of them, there's only two. It's two siblings in the family, and both of them married a dude from the internet. So
wow.
Married a dude from the internet.
Yeah, that sounds way creepier than what it actually was. But
yeah. That's who good means. The great part of the story that Stephen didn't tell is that on the wedding day, after the minister announced you're both married, he lifted the veil and it was the older sister. So he had to work for another seven years.
Oh, a little Laban switch there, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. It's an Old Testament story for those of you who don't know. It's go read it somewhere. It's in Genesis, I think.
Somewhere in there. It's in the first part.
7 years, nothing, man. We our first contact online was April 29th, 2014. April 29th. We talked all through May. I met her in person on June 2nd. I popped the question August 13th. We got married November 14th.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's the beauty of internet dating is they get you all lined up and you're ready to go, right? I mean, it's just hey, and you match. There you go.
Yeah. And
so how much did she cost you?
Yes. I don't remember what the subscription was. I think I paid for you could pay the subscription for one month by month, 3 months, 6 months, or a year. I think I paid a 3 month subscription. So whatever their price was back then.
So she wasn't that expensive. That's good.
No. She was the trips. Thank God gas was cheaper back then. My gosh. Right. Traveling.
traveling. Story, huh?
Yeah. But people have asked me, why did you marry her so quickly? What was the logic behind that? And I always respond, because I had to marry her while she still believed I was the greatest guy in the world.
Yes.
I couldn't keep that up very long.
Yes.
That was a ruse I could not maintain.
Sorry, lady. You signed the paper, so we're married for life. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. My kids look at me and my wife and they're like, Mom, why? Why did you choose him? And she's like, that's why you don't get married at 18.
Oh,
she tells him, and I'm like, yeah, it's right.
Yep.
If you can do a lot better than me, Jenna, a lot better than me. If you just hang in there, you know, and, but no, I had to get her before she got she needed glasses and contacts. I had to get her before she got her eye exam. So it was very important. Well, anyway, thank you for bringing the word today, brother. That was
we should have had the organ playing in the background.
Yeah, we should have. That was really good. Now it's time for some listener stories. Is there anybody going to listen to my story? All right. This segment is brought to you by Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. Do you know God made laughter and meant for us to enjoy it? And when you're laughing at clean humor, there's no guilt. It's refreshing. It's like eating that no fat, no sugar ice cream, only it's more natural and your hands don't get sticky. So when you're done listening to That Story Show, go check out the Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. It's in several podcast directories, and it also can be found at bit.ly.com/funnyandclean. You'll find funny sketches, stories, bloopers, and more, and you'll even find a parody of a certain time-traveling sci-fi hero. That's Protectorate Productions Comedy Showcase. Ask for it by name. So yeah, guys, go check him out. He's a good, hardworking podcaster, and he deserves a few more clicks and downloads and visits. He works hard for the money. So
I've done some voices for him.
Yeah, so, have too. I was Paul.
Good stuff.
So, or Peter.
Paul. I was John. No, wait. I can't remember.
He just does a lot of work over there.
Yeah,
he does.
Yeah, they're really good productions too. They turn out really nice.
You know how to book flights and hotels.
All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right. This story is called I Bit an Angel. It's from Michael, the not yellow-haired dad. Yeah, I bit an angel. There she was, the girl of my dreams. Oh, by the way, I haven't mentioned this is part two of a series. It's a theme show. Yeah. I kind of forgot that part. It's based on relationships. It's called Mates and Dates, Dates and Mates, or Mates and Dates. What? Yeah, Dates and Mates, part two. So I hope you gathered that from our featured story. I just started podcasting last week, so I'm a little behind.
Doing great, bud.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks.
Is there going to be episode three to this too?
No, we I think we've used everything up that we had, and if we didn't, if there's anything extra, we can weave it into a normal show. So anyway, there she was, the girl of my dreams. I didn't know that I was even looking, but I had found her. I was a freshman in college, and it was still part of the youth group at my church, and I went to the lock-in. Up to this point, my previous dating record was a girl in fifth grade that wanted to play hide and seek so she could kiss me behind a tree on the school playground.
Whoa!
And I attended prom my junior and senior years, so I was well experienced in the language of love and relationships with three dates under my belt in the first 18 years of my life. I liked girls, but I was short, skinny, and felt unattractive. Couple my physical traits with a shy and introverted demeanor, and you have a recipe for a guy who figured singleness was the only option for him. She was new to our youth group, a guest, and the piranhas were already sniffing the new blood in the water. And just the sight of her made my tummy a bit queasy, my knees a bit weak, and my head swim. I had enormous emotions that I had never had before, and I didn't really know what to do with them. I was smitten. I had to speak to her, but every ounce of my squirrely self was trying to keep my complacency in check. Finally, I went over with my cousin and began to chat, and that's further than I ever got, man. If I was smitten, there was no way I couldn't.
I didn't talk it.
Yeah, anyway. I couldn't do it. I'd chase them around the parking lot. That's what I would do.
Throw a ball at him, right?
Yeah, hit him with something. You're so pretty. This rock will fly through the air.
I picture James being more like Ernest T. Bass throwing rocks through windows.
Yeah, it's me. I'm a mess. Anyway, he says, I got to know her a bit vicariously through my younger yet somehow more confident cousin. She was only a freshman in high school, but she was held back because of learning a different language early on. Oh, wow. Now she was an exotic sample of the rarely seen missionary kid. When our eyes met, it was as if she was wondering why I would even think to approach her. That's not good. I was, at that time, a couple of inches shorter than she was. Familiar with attention from guys, this girl was way out of my orbit, and she looked at me with disdain, asking what grade I was in. She admitted thinking that I was only in eighth grade. I shyly showed her my university student ID as she scoffed at it, and she assumed it was a forgery. Striking out much? I don't know. It's time to go on eHarmony or whatever. Still unsure how to proceed, I tried to get to know her more because he can't take a hint. But my brain seemed to be like the Warner Brothers tower from Animaniacs. We went to the bowling alley where a couple of the younger youth and I rode in the back seat while this angel and her friend sat in the front with my cousin driving. We got to the alley and I somehow had the brilliant idea of how to get her to notice and like me. So I went with my gut and I bit her on the leg.
Oh, yeah. What?
Yeah. I bit her on the leg. I wish I could have turned into a bat and flown away. I'm still embarrassed by my actions from that night. See, he didn't throw a rock. He bit her. He bit her.
I thought you were being goofy for a second. That's actually in the story.
That's what the story says word for word. I bit her on the leg. So
what?
It's a mature college age kid right there.
Mm.
Needless to say, we did not start dating that night. In fact, she actually started dating my cousin that night. And I went home telling my sister that I had found the type of girl I would like to marry, but I left out the detail of biting her leg and the action that I did that would prevent any such union. Well, surprise ending to this story. We have now been married for nearly 24 years with three kids. Having lived in four different countries, I waited nearly 3 years to date her, married her 2 years after that. Moral of the story, if you can't be good, be memorable.
But well, apparently it works. Smart.
But a dental impression is probably not the right impression to make on a girl.
Yes.
That's good. Michael, the not yellow haired dad.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Love it.
That is awesome. That's a great story. I feel the love in that. I mean, it's like a Rudy story, right? You know, the little guy that plays football.
Yeah, and he finally gets to play. Yeah.
He gets his chance.
Yeah.
He's Michael, the not yellow haired dad, Rudy.
He just needed some time to grow into his role. And that bitten angel was waiting there in the wings for him the whole time.
Bit an angel.
Wow.
I feel like
this story needs a disclaimer or something. Like, hey, kids, don't try this at home.
Right.
I bit a girl and I liked it. Yeah, I don't know.
No. That story show does not condone the biting of anyone.
Yeah, don't bite people. Okay, kids? All right. We do have middle schoolers that listen, and they have teeth from what I hear. So don't bite your loved ones.
Never.
John, you've never been bitten at your school or anything that you work at, have you?
No, I have not.
No,
I have not.
Mm. I've been bitten.
When James started reading this as the title being Bitten Angel, I thought, what happened to John? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nope. I've never been bitten that I can recall.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Good. Let's try to keep it that way. Anyway, we got another story from Melody Copenhagen.
Yeah, all the way from Sprague, Connecticut. Yeah,
you know where Sprague is.
Sprague. I don't know. I've never been to Connecticut.
Yeah, neither have I.
Ever. I need to visit, though. It sounds like a great place. In fact, one of the movies that I like to watch around Christmas time, which is White Christmas.
Yeah.
They go to Connecticut, so maybe I should go too. Anyways, this is a social dance disaster, James.
Oh, boy.
Melody's got a great story for us today. So, hi, James and John, and I'll add Steven, too. I didn't think I had any good stories to share until you announced the Dates and Mates episode. Yes, turns out I had one after all. My family and I live in Connecticut, and my oldest sister had an online friend in her role-playing group. A single guy a couple years older than me who was living in Florida. This guy, Paul, is one of those incredibly likable people. You know, those kind.
Yeah, like you. James. Like John, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he started befriending me and my entire family from afar, and everyone took to him immediately. we were both in our 30s and single, so of course both of our families started applying the pressure for us to meet in person. Frankly, I think they just wanted Paul in the family.
Oh.
You know how it is, that family, they just kind of pressure you, right?
Yeah, I got to admit, there's my best friend David Godbout has a granddaughter, and she's so cute and smart, and I want my son to marry her. Like, I want to get with her family and go ahead and arrange the marriage. I want her as my daughter. I want her. She's just so great. She's so cute. Yep. and brilliant and funny. And so anyway, I'm gonna make that happen eventually.
Okay.
How does your son feel about that, James?
He doesn't know.
But, he doesn't know yet. But well, he doesn't listen to the show, does he?
No, he hates everything I do right now.
Oh.
My dad's so mean.
Well, hey, that's good. Then we can talk about this on the show and then help you with those plans.
We'll work it out. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, they just wanted Paul and the family. So the chance came when our local Burns Night celebration came up. All around the world, people celebrate the birthday of a Scottish poet, Robert Burns. You know, the guy that wrote Auld Lang Syne. The traditional New Year's Eve song that nobody can sing the second verse to, and they just kind of mumble through it. You know, that guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they have a celebration. I didn't know there was a second verse, but yeah.
I didn't either. I actually didn't. And in fact, I didn't even know that somebody wrote the song. I thought it was just something that came about. But
a bunch of drunk people got together and started babbling. Yeah. And they're like, hey, this kind of sounds like a song.
We don't have Burns Night. In where I live.
No, so, I've never heard of it. This is new to me, but culture is a good thing to be exposed to. So
it is. And so apparently all around the world, they celebrate Burns Night. And So Paul had heard lots of stories about how fun our Connecticut Burns Night celebration was, with bands and kilts and playing bagpipes and good food, including haggis.
You had me at kilts.
You had me at kilt, boy. You know what haggis is, James?
It's a stomach of sheep, right?
Yeah, with all sorts of stuff chopped up and it's baked in the stomach.
It's not for me is what it is. That's what it is.
Is it like gospel music to
it's
you,
It's like,
James?
I was about to say, saying? It's like Stephen's music. It's not for me.
Sinner. Sinner.
Now, I actually do know what haggis is, but I know about it from Wilson on Home Improvement. That's where I got it.
Okay.
Oh.
He references it in an episode, so...
Well, I saw how they make it on How It's Made.
Oh, I love those shows.
Love those shows too. And it turns out black when it's cooked. It's kind of scary. Anyway, they had that at this Burns Night, including social dancing. And so Paul decided to fly up all the way from Florida to attend the party and meet us all. He went straight from the airport to my sister's house, where he would be staying the night with her family. And I finally met him at the Holiday Inn, where the Burns Night party was going to be held. Guys, he was in full Scottish garb.
Yes! Yes!
I mean, kilt.
Yes! Yep.
Knee-high wool socks, fancy jacket, little hat, and all.
Oh.
And he is also about 60 pounds heavier than he is now.
Why would you put that in the story?
I don't know.
Why would you put that in the story?
It's got to be important. Okay?
As a fat man, I object. You don't put that in the story. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, Melody says he's still not a small framed guy to this day, and I've never seen quite a sight of a big man in a kilt and
it's like a giant leprechaun.
A Scottish guy. Now, I had mentioned social dancing. It's a bit like square dancing, where the couples line up and face each other, and sometimes they pair off and dance around the room. And since most of us are complete amateurs, there is a lady with a microphone calling out to each of you the things that you need to do, like step to the right, hop, lean in, twirl the lady around. You know, you get the idea, right? It's a lot of exercise, and usually I was never able to find a partner for every dance. See, I have lots of energy, and I wore out all of my former dates at the previous Burn Night.
Awesome.
I could not keep up. Even pretty fit guys had trouble keeping up.
I need to sit down.
I can't do it.
I just can't do it.
Well, before the dancing part of the night began, my older sister and I went off to the bathroom together. You know how girls do. We traveled to the restroom in groups so we can chat. Well, she asked me what I thought of Paul. I said, he seems enthusiastic. I'm going to put him through his paces. I will ask him to dance every single dance with me.
Oh, man.
I didn't know why my sister was grinning, but I discovered later that it was because Paul had told her, I really want to impress Melody. I'm going to dance with her every time she asks me to.
So they were both making a plot and neither one knew it. Am I understanding correctly?
Yes, like,
yeah. Oh, man. She's making a plot to make him die, and he's
willing to die for her. The things we do for love.
Things we do for love. The next morning at my sister's house, Paul got up and bent over to make the couch bed up, like a good guest would. And the overexertion from the dancing and his usually sedentary lifestyle took a sudden and disastrous effect on him.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Something went pop, and he couldn't straighten up.
Oh, no.
Fast forward 20 minutes, and he's at the emergency room in terrible pain. Yes, he had done it. He danced every dance, and I had broken him. But his tenacity paid off because we will celebrate our 4th anniversary this May, and every Burns night we dance every dance. Aww. Hope this made you smile, and I hope it makes it on the show. Melody Copenhagen.
That is amazing.
This story left me with so many questions. I've got questions. First, when he said that Paul felt something pop, my first thought was it like his Scottish sock girdle or something? Like, what's
that? Was my back, boy.
And then
I broke it.
And then early on in the story, she said that he was dressed out in full Scottish garb. That leaves me with a couple more questions. One, did it include a set of bagpipes? Because are you really Scottish in full Scottish garb unless you're carrying bagpipes and playing Amazing Grace out of tune? Like, isn't that kind of prerequisite?
That is the stereotype, yeah.
Perhaps. And then, we probably offended some Scottish people on that.
Yes.
Sorry.
Okay. We love you, Scottish people. We love you, Scottish garb.
And then the big one, did he wear underwear with the kilt? That's what I've always wondered about.
That's between him and the Lord.
That's kind of personal, don't you think, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm not checking.
Not checking either.
They hired a guy at the front door. They're like, okay, you need to lift your skirt before we let you in.
No. I have, to my knowledge, no Scottish ancestry, but I have a very, very high percentage of Finnish ancestry in my background. And my wife has a very high percentage of Swedish. Mm-hmm. And then one of my older brothers pointed out to me when we were dating, actually when we were engaged, he pointed out that in the 1100s, the Swedes enslaved the Finns.
Oh, no.
He's like, does that bode really well for your future marriage? I'm not sure if it does.
Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. Well, Melody, thank you for that. I love now that I've broken you, I'm mad at you. I've got you where I want you.
The dancing has paid off because he's lost 60 pounds since then.
That's amazing. Congratulations on that, dude. That's where I'm heading to. I'm halfway there right now, actually.
You need to go to Burns night.
I do.
Yeah.
Well, this one's called Literally Hitting on a Guy by Kelly from Southeastern Pennsylvania. I'm currently married and quite happily expecting a third baby.
All right. Congrats. Mm.
Yeah. Congratulations. But my family has long teased me for quote unquote interesting dating experiences. When I was around 18 or 19, I was driving my dad's car home from the bank when I just barely tapped the rear bumper on the car in front of me. Of course, that ocean of panic rose up in me. That money I just deposited mentally evaporated in seconds. The other driver and I pulled to the side into the bank parking lot, and out of the car steps this really good-looking dude. I was so frazzled with nerves from the bump, and I was also totally noticing that this guy is really good looking, that I didn't even know what to do. So instead of exchanging insurance info, I ended up just giving him my number. And he was really sweet, saying, it's just a scratch. It's a scratch. I don't know why everybody's Scottish now, but
everybody's Scottish for the rest of the night.
We parted. So a few days later, I get a call. Hi, Kelly. It's Brad, the guy you hit with your car. Well, it turns out the damage is a bit worse than I thought. So if you'd like to go out for coffee, we can talk about it. Well,
wow.
Yeah. Whoa. Let's not dwell on the fact that I actually believe that the car was more damaged and that this wasn't just another pickup line. So Brad took me out for a bite and we played frisbee golf and I was awful at it. Never got a second date, but neither car needed repair. So I call it a win. Over a decade later, I am still getting teased by my family that hitting on someone doesn't mean actually hitting them with your car.
Yes.
Love the show. Keep it up, my friends. Kelly from Southeastern Pennsylvania. That's
right.
Oh,
man. Thanks for that.
That's a way to get a date. Men, don't try that one, though. That's creepy. You're just like, hey, there's a hot model up there in front of me. I'll just rear end the car and boom, I get a date.
Yeah, you'll have a date all right in court.
In court. Anyway. Colleen's got a great story for us.
Yes, almost strip searched. Is this safe and clean enough to read on this?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
That's the word almost.
Almost. Okay. On a wonderful trip to California's Napa Valley, my husband bought me a ceramic plate shaped like a cluster of grapes that had a small knife. It was a pretty cheese plate.
Aw.
Yeah. On our return trip home, I wanted to make sure it didn't get broken, so I wrapped it up in paper and shoved it in between layers of clothes in one of our suitcases. I then forgot about it. On the day of our return flight, we checked the large suitcases and we each grabbed one of our two carry-on bags. As we go through the security check, I make it through with no problems, and I'm headed to the waiting area when I look back and notice my husband is not behind me. Mm. On further investigation, I see him being manhandled by security and his carry-on bag being ransacked. Oh, man. Every traveler's worst nightmare, right? They're opening up the bag and looking through it. What you got in there, buddy? Well, for a good 15 minutes, I watch as he is everything but strip searched. Everything but. Then I see the cause for such great alarm. It's the cheese plate knife,
oh,
James.
Oh, no!
This little tiny knife, mind you, is no more than a short butter knife, and it wasn't even serrated. But because of the lack of serration, he was allowed to keep it.
Oh.
He came out of the security chamber with smoke coming out of his ears. Mm. Not a happy camper, says Colleen. I looked at him and I tried to lighten the mood. Honey, I said, I guess they know how dangerous it can be when you cut the cheese.
James, where's the wah-wah-wah?
I played this one instead. It was hard to hear, but it was in there. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Man. Thank you,
that's
Colin.
That's good.
It was good.
How dangerous is he when he cuts the cheese?
He's pretty dangerous, apparently. You know, I was at lunch today with a bunch of pastors, and I was like, what in the world do I have in common with these guys? They're all pastors, and I'm a pastor, but I don't really preach. I just fill in once a month at a church, you know, and I help out here and there, and I do outreach in a ministry and blah, 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 but I don't preach every week. I have nothing in common. I'm a podcaster. I'm an artist, but as the crowd dwindled down, there was just a few guys, and one of them started telling a fart story. And I reached into my
fart story.
Yes, about how he farted in a grocery store, and one of his pastor bosses came up and started talking to him, and then smelled it, and it was really funny. You would have loved it. And I just reached into my pocket and pulled out of that Story Show business card and just laid it in front of him. I'm like, here, this is for you.
Yeah, you need to tell that story.
just write that up and send it in. That would be great. Anyway, we have a story from Evan. Nice little Monday. this one's savage. It just is savage. You'll see. And really only men are going to get this one to the full effect, I think. Hey, James and John, my date story takes place several years ago. At the time, I had Mondays off, and my wife and I took the opportunity to have a little day date. So after having lunch, we walked around downtown. We visited a couple of shops, and I ended up buying a couple of shirts. And as I walked down the street with my wife swinging my shopping bag, I remarked to my wife, we're having a nice little Monday. Well, we happened to be walking past a grizzled gentleman sitting in a doorway across the sidewalk from his motorcycle. When he heard my comment, he looked up from his phone with such a look of disgust. Well, I felt like the world's biggest sissy. I just having a nice little Monday.
Isn't it sweet?
It's precious. I just love you so much, honey bun. I hung my head in shame and I told my wife I needed a tattoo now, but I never got one because I'm too big of a wimp. Hope you liked my story, Evan.
So. Nice little Monday.
We're just having a nice little Monday.
Boy, you need to keep walking.
Oh, man. Take your Monday somewhere else. We don't have Mondays. Mondays are terrible around here. Oh, man, I can relate because I am so not macho at all. Like, in a room full of guys, the only thing I've got going for me is I can grow facial hair like nobody's business. But if they start talking about sports or start wrestling or anything to do with guy stuff, golf, I just don't care. Cars, you know, any of
it. Yeah.
I want to talk about Marvel movies. I want to talk about podcasting, you know, and I want to talk about ventriloquist dummies. I mean, that's really the only things that I enjoy.
Well, I spend my whole career talking to them, but yeah.
I've been wondering this whole show. Are you moving your mouth when you talk?
Yeah. Are you ventriloquizing now?
I am now. Yeah. But.
I knew it. He's throwing his voice. He's
throwing his voice.
John's not even here, you guys. It's been him the whole time. So
yeah, only non-ventriloquists actually use that term. There's no actual voice throwing involved. It's like a holdover from like vaudeville days.
Okay.
Huh. Yeah. The only other reference to that is there's a sort of a thing called distant ventriloquism, mm-hmm. which is the idea if you trick people into thinking that a voice is coming from somewhere else, like you know you. Uh-huh. It's even then you're not really throwing your voice. It's more of a deceptive, get them to look over there and make them think the voice came from over there, basically.
Yeah.
Like make them think that the dummy's talking before he gets out of the box, that kind of thing. Or,
yeah.
Yes.
Or it's really great though. If you're at a funeral, make them think that the corpse is talking. That works.
Gosh.
Let me up. He's in there, guys. For my family, throwing your voice is just another euphemism for farting. So.
Yes, of course.
Your butt's voice. About,
yeah. So sorry about that.
I have a dream.
Well, I got a story from TJ.
All right. I saved it for you.
Talking about farting is about bad breath. So this is the bad breath baby, TJ Bunkhall. I had a girlfriend back in February and her breath really stank.
You know, it's bad when they use the word stank.
That's a great opener.
Yeah.
It's like the difference between naked and naked. You know, naked naked just means you don't have any clothes on and everybody's naked, but naked means you ain't got no clothes on and you up to something, you know? And so stink just smells. Stank is like ornery. It's like after you. It's coming after you. It wants to get on you. So
thank you, James, for settling that. As a Yankee, I've never understood the difference, and now I understand.
Hey, there you go.
Just need to hang out with us Southern boys here.
Yeah, there you go. Continue, John.
Here you go. Well, so TJ explains further. He says her breath really stank. I could almost taste it when you kissed.
Because your kiss is on my list. On my list of terrible things. Anyway.
He says it was nasty. I was trying to decide how to tell her. I was considering breaking up with her over this. I was going to break up with her because of how bad her breath was.
That's terrible.
But it seemed like a jerk move to break up with a girl over bad breath, right?
How are you going to have that conversation?
Yeah. It's you. It's not me. It's you. Your breath.
Your breath is stank. Do you know the difference between stink and stank? It's like naked and naked. Okay.
And if she's a Yankee, she won't get it.
She won't.
Right. Well, TJ's got a wise roommate. He says, my roommate suggested that I give her a piece of gum.
Oh, well, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. That's brilliant. I was going to do it. But as we were discussing our next date, she said that she wanted to break up.
Oh.
Yeah. That she wasn't ready for a relationship with a man who had such sweet smelling breath. So no, he didn't write that. I said that. But he says, hey, it saved me a stick of gum. So
there pack you go. Of gum is more like it.
Yeah, think of the money that you saved, because all that money you're going to have to be investing in gum every time you went out on a date.
She can't even talk because, here, have another stick. Have another stick. Yeah. That one's worn off. Yeah.
His only hope would be to work gum into his weekly budget after that.
Mm, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, she couldn't take a hint. Anyway, this one's called Devout Dummy.
Hey, is this one of Steven's friends?
No.
Okay.
Samantha Rothschild writes, I thought I would share my Christian Mingle story since you were curious about the app. Yeah. And yes, they have lots of checkboxes for exactly what kind of Christian you identify as, along with the types that you would like to connect with. Apparently, I was not selective enough when I filled out my profile, because I must have checked the crazy checkbox in the attributes I wanted in a potential mate. I matched with a man who seemed very nice and very devout. I should have known it would never work because he was a cat person and I was most decidedly a dog person. And that does make you better than him. So at the time, I was a single mother of a teenager and not interested in having any more children. In fact, I had had all my internal baby making equipment removed. That's a nice way to put it. Ages 10 and up. Yeah. The factory was closed for good. The fact that I didn't want any more children was clearly stated in my profile. And after talking to this gentleman for a while, I even shared with him that I had had that surgery. However, he still began to talk about us having children someday.
Whoa.
And I asked if he meant adopting, because that was something I had considered, but he assured me that he wanted his own biological children. I reminded him that I was not able to do that. Well, he responded that he wanted us to pray for my uterus and ovaries to grow back so that we could have a child naturally.
Oh,
remember when Jesus did that in the New Testament? It was Lazarus, I think. Lazarus woke up and he's like, I'm alive and I can have children now. I think that's how it went.
The factory's back open.
Yeah.
That happened.
I never could do this before. Anyway, never mind the fact that we had only been talking on the phone for a couple of months, so it was entirely too early to be planning our children together. And I fully believe in the miraculous power of the Lord, but I did not want my uterus back. That's why I paid to have it removed. It was a bit too much for me. Needless to say, things didn't work out. Samantha Rothschild. So, congratulations on trapping a weirdo, a devout dummy. So,
and you guys thought I was weird for making a tattoo joke? That's
Well, that's what I was wondering, because, you know, the Christianity spectrum also goes another way, and that's people that have sense, and then people that just think they have to pray before they select a soda, you know? And it's like, Jesus, yeah. I was going to get a Diet Coke, but I felt the Holy Spirit telling me to get a Sprite. So I got a Sprite, you know? And, you know, so how do you select crazy people, or can you get away from that? I don't know. But anyway.
Apparently there's a checkbox for it.
Apparently. You know what? I appreciate you coming on the show this week. You're awesome. And I want to mention again for everyone who is listening that you can go over to Steven Forster, look him up on any of the music apps, and go to ForsterMinistries.com for more information. Appreciate it, Steven. We appreciate you. And it is time for us to say goodbye to all our company, MICKEYMOUSE. Whatever your story is, we want it. Email or audio, thatstoryshow@gmail.com. You know where the website is, thatstoryshow.com. Review the show on review.nlcast.com. And thanks to our patrons with your support. But special thanks to our producers, James Spangler, Jennifer Kennison, Eric Kube, Carrie Wright, and Christopher Tynan. Support the work we do and get more from your favorite podcast today at patreon.com/thatstoryshow. And remember, when something weird, annoying, embarrassing, or painful happens to you, don't get stressed, don't get depressed. Just think, hey, this belongs on That Story Show. We'll see you guys next time. We'll see you next week. This has been another great theme show. Thank you so much, John. Thank you, Steven. Yeah. Appreciate you.
This has been great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
With the John Steinklauber.
I'm going to have to change my website name now.
So, Stephen, I assume you don't have a tattoo, do you?
No.
No, I didn't think so. If you did get one,
considering one,
what would it be?
It'd probably be a picture of John's face.
Oh. Where? I was thinking it would just be two simple words, all uppercase, cursive font, no tattoos. Yeah.
John, only ask questions that you really want the answers to.
Oh, man.
Good job. Ignorance is bliss.
Christian Mingo, if you're single.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.